We're having some fun tonight. Nice and light and easy. We're talking with Mr. Lobo next hour. Rosemary Ellen Guiley joins us as we talk more about some spooky things with her on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. Mr. Lobo's with us this hour. We'll take your phone calls as well. Mr. Lobo, did you ever think you'd be hosting horror movies and going to conventions and doing all these things?
Absolutely not. I was so terrified of those movies as a kid. I was the kind of kid where, you know, the skipper would yell at Gilligan and I'd have to go hide in the kitchen until it was all over.
I love it. Are there any little Mr. Lobos?
There are, but they're not so little anymore. They're 13 and 19.
Now, what do they think of Dad Lobo doing what he does?
Oh, they just sort of roll their eyes and go back to their anime.
Do they tell their friends?
They do, actually, because both of my kids have been in some of the episodes. My daughter was in the House on Haunted Hill episode, and my son has been in First Spaceship on Venus as a robot, and he was in Wasp Woman as a younger version of Mr. Lobo, and so they want to show their friends themselves.
That's great.
That's how I trick them into watching the show.
I love it. Are you using the new technology? Are you on Twitter and Facebook?
I am. I have a wonderful intern named Casey Campaign who handles my Twitter and my Tumblr and my Facebook and my Pinterest and my fan page on the Facebook for Cinema Insomnia and Mr. Lobo. And I try to bounce around on all those, but I need help. It's too much to handle.
That's a lot of work. Yeah, it is. Let's go to the phones.
Full-time job. Just talk to people.
Get some questions, get some stories. We'll start with Tim in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania on the wild card line. Hey, Tim, go ahead.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Good. Mr. Lobo, that's not a common name I've ever heard except for once. Have you ever been to Reno, Nevada?
I have been to Reno, Nevada, yes. Do I owe you money?
No. Do you owe, say, Cal Neva money for the sports book? Do you know anybody that owns that facility?
No, I don't know anyone that owns. I don't know anything about it. I'm sorry. Lobo means wolf in many languages.
How'd you get the name?
The name is actually my actual last name, my actual given name. It just when I was going to go on the air for the first time, I thought, well, you know, if I'm Count Spooky Pants or, you know, Uncle Fright Pants, or I don't know why it's always got to be pants, but if I made up a silly name, I didn't know if it would be something that I would want someone to be yelling at me from across the street as I'm getting in my car at 2 in the morning, you know, hey, Uncle Spooky, I loved the movie last week. So I decided that I would just take my last name, I dropped the first name, and it would just be something that I could live with. And what the weird thing is, and I think possibly drag queens go through the same thing, is that the more that I spend time as this character, the more that I realize that this is cool. Even though it's not really the real me, it's closer to who I really am than the person I was pretending to be for ex-wives and bill collectors and teachers. And
well, you know, I was going to say, who is the real Mr. Lobo? I mean, would we know who he is?
I don't even know that guy. That guy was 3 nervous breakdowns ago. I really don't know anymore.
Did you really? Did you go through a metamorphosis?
I really did. I think I just spent, and it happens, and it's a danger, I guess, when you're in character all the time. But I really kind of, you know, it's like, you know, Mr. T probably, and, you know, Dr. Seuss probably went through the same thing. I'm, you know, everyone calls me Mr. Lobo. My friends call me Mr. Lobo. My wife calls me Mr. Lobo. And it just, it's a nickname, I guess, as well as a character name.
Let's go to Sid in Cincinnati, Ohio now. Sid, it's your turn.
Hey, George. Hey, Mr. Nice. Lobo. Nice
greetings.
To talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
What? Yeah, okay. They cut you here in Cincinnati. You're not on the 25s anymore.
Oh, we were on in Cincinnati for a couple of years. Well,
yeah,
thank you for watching.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I got a lot. I like the Spaceman movies, the Japanese Spaceman movies.
Oh yeah, Prince of Space and Invasion of the Neptune Men were the two I think we showed during that time period when we were on in your area.
I went to a convention. I just wanted to mention Count Gore Vidal.
Oh, yes. Yes, Count Gore Duvall, right.
Nice, mm-hmm. What a nice guy. I met him at a convention here in Cincinnati, and it was awesome. And, you know, he was really surprised that I knew that he had been in all those Don Doler movies.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know,
He's in our Haunted House special, which is on my website right now for free if you want to watch that. But he plays a sheriff in my Haunted House special, and it's just like a Don Doler movie. It's hilarious.
I actually met the real Gore Vidal a few years ago, and nice guy. Absolutely nice guy.
Little did he know that he would be a parody of his name would be the namesake of a horror host.
Oh, that's right. He's no longer with us, but what a great writer he once was. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
let's go out to Westminster, Colorado. Gelvez is with us. Hi, Gelvez. Thanks for calling.
Hello. How you doing here, Mr. Lobo, how you doing?
Greetings, Gelvez.
Thank you, and George, how you doing?
I'm fine. Go ahead, sir.
Well, one thing, I have two classic ghost movies that you guys have not heard of. And but before I say something, Mr. Lobo, when you were talking about Godzilla and Mothra, those Japanese movies,
yes.
You forgot to mention Gamera, the giant turtle.
Oh, yes, Friend of the Children, Gamera. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Gamera, there you go. But anyway, here's your classics. Do you remember the incredible two-headed transplant?
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, I do.
And then there was a remake.
The Thing with Two Heads, also. The Thing with Two Heads was another similar film.
And last but not least, this is a classic of itself.
Okay.
And it's something that...
I can't wait.
Here it comes, ladies and gentlemen. Lars Chilly, my voice just keeps on changing. I don't know why. But the last one I do remember, and it's a great classic. And it's that monster, the golden monster. The monster with the golden arm.
Monster with the golden arm. Wow, that sounds riveting.
Did you ever hear of that one?
Never heard of it. No, no.
Nor have I.
Does it have the, where's my golden arm? Does it go like that?
If somebody wants to break into this business and do horror film introductions for like a little cable access channel, how do they, can they get these movies for free? Are they public domain or do you have to buy them? How do you do this?
Some are. I think for the, you know, someone who's starting out who wants to host horror movies, a lot of how it goes, now I started at an ABC affiliate, so we had a library of films at the station where I worked, but a lot of people who started in public access, and basically there are a lot of films where the copyright has either expired or they've been donated to the public domain, or they've been abandoned. You know, they were created by a film company that went bankrupt. You know, there's a million reasons why the rights go into limbo. And you know, there are lists on the internet of public domain movies, and if you can get a clean copy, now you've got to either get it from a 16mm film, and you can do your own film transfer, or you can find an out of print laser disc or something. But if you buy an over the counter DVD and show it, that remastering and all that's someone's work, and you can get in trouble using a copy of an over the counter DVD and just putting it on the air.
Okay, that's interesting. I remember when Dr. Morgus was doing his thing in Detroit, and I would rush home from school. He was even doing a little weather segment. But when he would host his late night movie introductions, he did these skits in between that he wrote, and they were absolutely brilliant. And people don't understand how much work goes into that when you just have one or two people up there, and he would have a guest every once in a while. For example, some guy wanted to have his hair grow, and Morgus ended up making all his hair gone, everything. You know, his shtick was, Mr. Lobo, everything he touched was wrong. Every experiment he did failed.
But he was so confident when he was conducting those experiments. They were going to be the very, very first transplant. We're going to turn a man into a merman. Yeah, he was. I've seen a few clips. He's a marvelous sense of comic timing and such a commitment to character. Really wonderful.
Yeah, and the camera work in those days for the local stations was pretty darn good. I mean, this was almost like live to tape, and in some cases, probably live.
Yeah.
And it's obvious that they use two or three cameras in a studio. You don't see that happen anymore.
No. Well, you know, I think the local horror host was a powerhouse a long time ago, you know, and I think that, you know, a lot of news departments at TV stations were bought by the Saturday Night Movie because they sold a lot of advertising and they had a big studio and they have a three camera shot with the floor director and the guy rolling the teleprompter and the technical director and the director and the guy working the Chiron titles and all that. And, you know, employed a lot of people. It was, you know, a lot of money in television. And now, you know, you've got these TV stations where there's like three people working in the whole TV station.
Other than maybe the mini news department.
You know, you got the anchor running his own teleprompter with a foot pedal, and the director is also controlling all the cameras robotically. And, you know, you just don't, you know, there used to be a lot of money in local television.
Oh, my gosh. I miss those days. Missed those days. They had those three networks. That was it. But those local stations really committed. I mean, they even did beyond just the horror shows at night. You know, they would do their kids shows in the morning on Saturday.
Sure. They were live.
I remember our school would say, "Hey, you know, you're all getting on a bus next Saturday. You're going down to WJBK TV2 in Detroit. You're going to be in the audience to watch Sagebrush Shorty do his
thing." Oh, wow. So was he like the cartoon host in the afternoon?
Yeah.
Morning?
He sure was. And it was fun watching that. But I remember live television once they had Bozo at one of the stations and they had a whole bunch of kids in there
Your one caller mentioned Count Gordeval. He was the Bozo in the DC area. He was the local Bozo in the DC area.
We had them all. Captain Jolly in Detroit. Soupy Sales started this way.
Wow, yeah.
And then he exploded. Let's go next to Ann in Los Angeles, California. Ann, welcome to the program. You're up
with
us.
Thank you for taking my call. I love it. I just listened to you, and I remember everything you're saying. But one thing he was mentioning, good evening, Dr. Lobo.
Good evening. Nice to talk to you.
You were mentioning all the movies of the 30s, like, you know, the Frankenstein, Dracula. But, you know, if you could ever get a hold of the old silent movies of Nosferatu, the original Dracula, and the one that's really good is Golem, and also...
Oh, yeah, yes, both of those are wonderful. Silent films, Nosferatu and the Golem, absolutely. And Nosferatu, the makers of that, F. Murray, was sued by the estate of Bram Stoker, and Bram Stoker's wife ended up kind of putting that film into obscurity for a long time. But luckily, there have been some, you know, now people can watch Nosferatu again. But for a long time, it was they destroyed all the copies of it that were known, so it was kind of lost for a while.
By far, the ugliest Dracula I've ever seen. Nosferatu.
Oh, and the scariest, I think. I think Salem's Lot took a page right out of Nosferatu, for sure.
Yeah. No, you're right. First-time caller, we've got Terry in Cleveland, Ohio now. Hi, Terry. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
I love the show, George. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Lobo, a couple questions for you, two quick ones here for you to answer.
Sure.
The Wicker Man, the original Wicker Man, is one of my favorites of all time. I thought it was one of the more influential movies. It seemed like it created a huge occult and a pagan and Wicca and kind of magical kind of aura around it. That's
certainly.
My first question.
A lot more than the Nicolas Cage version, for sure.
No, I'm talking about with Christopher Lee.
Yeah, no, I know. The classic with Christopher Lee, absolutely. Yes, the Wicker Man. And they had a fertility cult. And it also had Edward Woodward in that film also. Wonderful, wonderful piece of great British horror film.
And real quickly, my second question. Hello?
Yep.
Yes.
do think zombies, which are almost overrated and accepted by mainstream society nowadays, do you think they are a current metaphor for the complacency of today's individual?
That's a good question. I think it depends on the zombie movie. I think in a lot of zombie movies, it's our replacement for cowboys and Indians. I think it's someone we can shoot and not feel bad about. I think it's a very PC way to just walk into a room and start mowing people down, because, and it's okay because they're already dead.
I did a little ad on Facebook for our Coast Insiders membership, and we used the zombie apocalypse as the ad, and Facebook came back to us and said, one of the highest hit rates they've ever seen in an ad. People are into zombies, aren't they?
Zombies are popular, and like, and they have a lot of symbology. They mean different things to different people. Other than the aspect I just told you had mentioned about, you know, it's an enemy that we can universally destroy and not have feelings about. I think the other thing about zombies is that we do have a complacency. You know, we all kind of have this feeling that our friends and neighbors are kind of losing their individuality, and they're are being controlled or are mindless. You know, you see people walking around with their iPhones and you think, yes, zombies exist.
Let's go to Mark, British Columbia, Canada now. Mark, you're up with us. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hello, Marky.
This is great. First time I've ever been here.
Well, good. Welcome aboard.
Welcome. Happy Halloween.
That just reminded me of a Kink song, Paranoia Will Destroy You. You know?
Absolutely. Mighty Rock Band, the Kinks. Yep.
We played, and we have played, Monster Mash.
One of my favorites.
It's a classic. Just a classic. And it did very well, didn't it?
Oh yeah, for Bobby Boris Pickett, it was a huge smash, bigger than the Transylvania Twist, that was for sure.
Tell us a little bit about the Cinema Insomnia website.
Sure. It's at cinemainsomnia.com, and there is some music on there. I have a song called Halloween Candy, which if you click the sneak preview of my Halloween special for this year, you'll get to hear the song Halloween Candy. I think novelty songs, a lot of horror-hosted novelty songs, and mine's there too. And then there's a viewer, so if you press watch episodes on my website, it brings you right to a Ustream channel, and I believe there's maybe 40 or so episodes that you can just watch right now, and they're all you know, different genre horror films. Some are not horror, some are sci-fi, some are, you know, late night movies, but it's all there. CinemaInsomnia.com.
All right, well, stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment with Mr. Lobo and take some final phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, please watch our television program, if you would. It's called Beyond Belief. It is America's, one of its fastest growing internet-based television shows, and you can watch it free for 10 days by going to beyondbelief.com. And welcome back. Final segment with Mr. Lobo. We're going to take your calls as well. I'm enjoying this, Mr. Lobo. It's always fun having you on the show.
I'm having a marvelous time, George. This is great. I'm a big fan, and this is it's nice to be part of the Coast to Coast AM. Nothing paranormal or, well, that's not true. We have had some paranormal experiences,
yeah,
but I'm excited that the horror host can be on Coast to Coast AM.
Well, listen, anytime you want to come on, you just get a hold of Tom or Lisa, and you know, if you've got events coming on and you know, you want to call in from some spooky place, you're always open to that. Okay.
Oh, well, you know, we do things from haunted places sometimes, and I will definitely take you up on that. Thank you.
You know
what?
One day at an event, assuming we cross paths, we should do a live radio show together.
Yes, that's a great idea.
That would be fun at some haunted house or something like that.
We could do like the Al Capone's vaults of haunted house specials together.
What did you think of that story that I had in my news segment about some sicko who cuts a head off a woman, and people actually think it's part of a Halloween skit? I mean, we've heard stories where some guy died outside, and they thought he was part of the Halloween, you know, decorations.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I think, you know, and you know, that's why I think I like to have a lot of that stuff going on in, you know, a haunt or, you know, that sort of thing. Although, you know, people decorate for Halloween. I'd like to see a return to some more classical decorations other than decapitated bodies on the front lawn. But, you know, it is chilling that people would just think it's a decoration. What can you say to that?
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Zach in Alabama. Zach, you're on with us. Go ahead.
Hi, that's me, George, and thank you for talking to me, Mr. Lobo.
Oh, wonder! It's a pleasure.
You already answered one of the questions I had, which was if you've ever been to any haunted places before. The question I have for you is, have you ever experienced anything paranormal? And if you have, what was the most profound thing you experienced? And while you're on the subject, I just want to say, if you ever were in Alabama, you should check out Sloth Furnace.
I would love to get down there to Alabama. I've got some fans down there. I have had a few profound experiences. When we shot our Halloween special in 2013, we did film it in a haunted house. Or reportedly haunted house in Winchester. The house has since been condemned and turned down, torn down. But while we were in there, we were hearing some pretty scary kind of scratching noises, and it felt like it was just coming like from right on the other side of the door, but there wasn't ever anything there. And it turns out that the woman who lived in that house had Alzheimer's, and her neighbors locked her into her bedroom and would check on her every few days because she kept wandering off. And she would claw the insides of the doors. You could see her claw marks inside of the in her bedroom on the walls and on the door. That was very chilling. And there were a few things of things disappearing and reappearing. And you know, we needed a board that was a certain size, and we found a board that was to the millimeter, the size that we needed. You know, there were some weird things that had happened during the making of that special last year, which you can watch on Ustream. The other thing that happened to me when I was an usher at the Crest, beautiful Crest Theater in Sacramento, which was a picture palace, a hippodrome, there was a projectionist who had killed himself, and that was always kind of whenever something weird happened at the theater, we always thought it was that projectionist who killed himself.
Yeah, exactly.
And what we had two things that happened that were bizarre. At night, we would put out a ghost light, which is a tradition in the theater where you put out a light and you leave one light on, and it's usually on like a torch lamp where it sticks straight up and it's a long cord, and you bring it right in the middle of the room, and it's the only light on in the place, and you leave it on. Well, one night where we had a particularly strange activities going on in the theater, the ghost light just exploded. I mean, exploded. It didn't burn out. It exploded, and that was really terrifying. And then I was in the snack bar, and I used to have to carry the cans of film all the way up the steps to the projectionist booth, and it was at the very, very top. You had to go through the auditorium, and it was at the very top of this very tall flight of stairs up through the balcony, and then you'd leave the cans up there, and the 35 millimeter film cans were very, very heavy, and I've dropped them a few times. And I go back into the snack bar area, and I'm sweeping up, and I hear this, ka-kang, 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 ka-kang. I'm like, oh, my gosh, those cans are falling down the stairs. I don't know how this is happening. And I run around the corner and back into the auditorium, and nothing. The cans are just right up at the top of the steps where I had left them. But I knew that sound, and I'd heard it before, and there wasn't anything making that sound. It was some sort of echo or reflection of something that maybe happened long ago.
Next up, let's go to Mark in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Welcome to the program, Mark. Go ahead.
Yes, good evening. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. I don't know if you remember, we used to, when I was a kid, we'd have sleepovers. I'm talking 51, 52 years ago, and watch Lights Out and The Outer Limits.
Oh, yeah. Classics.
Yeah, great stuff, and we were captivated with it. You know, we were really into it. But anyway, there was this movie called Screaming Skull.
Yes, I know that film. I was in a documentary on that film.
Yeah, it was great. It was really scary, you know, to us at the time. There was like a big courtyard at a villa, and there was a fountain in the courtyard, you know, with a circular pond there. And these, at about dusk, these skeletons would come out and accost the people. And, you know, it wasn't real graphic, but there was blood in it. And they would kind of tear them up and then, you know, and as I recall, clean their bones, and then they would join the skeletal community, you know, in the...
I think you saw a much better movie than everyone else was seeing.
What's that?
I think you saw a much better movie than everyone else who saw that film was seeing.
Well, I don't know, but anyway, I wanted to mention, I remember seeing Tarantula as well, and the giant ants, the movie, I don't remember what it's called.
Them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Clint Eastwood was in Tarantula. I think that was his first movie.
That's possible. I do not know for sure, but it's very possible.
Yeah, yeah, he was in it. I know he was in it. I heard something here not too long ago about it. But anyway, I just wanted to bring that up and see if you all were familiar with that movie.
Well, and definitely
has that sort of that screaming skull has that. You can barely like it's like it's almost overwhelming. It gets so high pitched, you know. That some of the music of that movie is very imitated a lot in horror films.
Next up, it's Bruce, Asheville, North Carolina. Bruce, hi there.
Hey, home of Joshua P. Warren.
You got it.
I don't know if you guys remember. I'm sure you remember, but back in the late 50s, early 60s. Up in New Jersey, I grew up with Zacherly.
Oh, yes, Zacherly. Yeah. Yes, John Zacherly, one of the great horror movie hosts.
Oh,
he was in Philly and New York.
Was he in Philly, too? Oh, he was great. He was fantastic. But I don't know about, I can't think of any old films, but I remember the first thing that scared me where I couldn't look out the window at night was House on Haunted Hill with Vincent Price.
Yes, the great
that
William
was a
Castle
classic
film.
Vincent Price was a
when
giant.
He was in that room in the basement,
Carol Omar,
and he turns around and the witch was right there.
Oh yeah, yeah.
To this day, I'm terrified of witches.
That witch is the scariest thing in that movie, and of course, the explanation is so weird. It's like, oh no, it's just my wife. She's blind. It's like, no. What I saw was much scarier than that.
Vincent Price was scary, wasn't he? Just looking at him.
Remarkable. I mean, he had such presence, you know, what a champagne villain, you know, for the perfect bad guy.
But then I liked him in Edward Scissorhands. He came across as a nice old,
nice
whatever
old
he
mad
was.
Scientist.
Mad scientist. That's right. I'm in St. Louis right now, Mr. Lobo, and that's where Vincent Price is from. I mean, he was a giant out here.
St. Louis.
Yep. Very good. Tom in Richmond, Virginia. Your turn. You're on with Mr. Lobo.
Hi. This has been one of the best programs. I have so much enjoyed. People my age and
very kind of
calling. Mr. Norrie and Mr. Lobo, with such excitement and memory, good memories. I wanted to tell you something. I have a question to you. My questions first.
Sure.
Do y'all remember a movie where there were two gentlemen being held in a castle? There was no way for them to get out. They were on the top floor in a spire, and they were trying to get out. It was somewhere between a horror flick and a comedy almost. And that, I was about six. I was born in 60. And
it'd be Comedy of Terrors, but I'm not sure.
What is which one, sir?
It could be Comedy of Terrors, but I'm not sure if that's the film you're talking about. I was a guess.
Okay, well, at least I can write it down as a chance.
Yep, I was losing you there, so had to move on. Mike in San Diego, go ahead, Mike, it's your turn.
We lost.
Hey, how's it going, guys? First
good,
time
Mike.
Caller. Good show. I just want to say the guy that called earlier and gave that huge drum roll, there's no movie called Monster with a Golden Arm. It's Man with a Golden Arm. It's about a guy that shoots heroin.
Well, you know, it takes all kinds.
Nice, nice build-up and everything by him. What do you think of Clive Barker, Mr. Lobo?
Clive Barker is a self-styled horror genius, I think. You know, I think that was a different era. I think everyone after Hellraiser was trying to imitate that sort of look for any sort of depiction of anything demonic or you know, I think that he is very very influential.
What is it, Mr. Lobo, about our recollections, especially when we were kids, of some of these horror movies and sci-fi programs? It's almost as if it brings us back to our youth again. I think that's one of the reasons why people enjoy this.
It's branded on your brain, and I think part of it is that sense of wonder you have when you're younger, and you're trying to define yourself, and you're trying to understand the world of adults, and you're trying to understand the things that you like and the things that you don't like, and it's sort of a coming of age thing when you're just like a sponge, and I think that's why the horror films are so attractive, because it's kind of like, you know, it's taking that little step into this dark world, and I think it's exciting, and I think for a lot of people it's like I said, a coming of age moment, and and that especially you're still in that magical world of being younger, where you're open and you want to see it. I want to see it. What is that weird thing? I want to see it. And I think a lot of times, you know, we get older and we don't feed that child inside of us, and we're not as hungry for things that are weird or strange or maybe upsetting or maybe abnormal, or, you know, that's my feeling. And I think that it's not always that the movies were better when we were 10 years old. It's just that we were better when we were 10 years old. You know, we had a more open sensibility.
I think we miss something as adults if you don't grasp onto those things that we loved when we were kids.
I agree.
Let's go to Nelson, Providence, Rhode Island. Hey, Nelson, you're on with Mr. Lobo. Go ahead.
Hey, hi. Oh, Mr. Lobo, I'm really looking forward to seeing some of your work. It sounds like a lot of fun. Can I mention a few things, though?
Sure.
I was wondering if you're familiar with, it's called Jack the Bear. It was first a novel, and years later they made a movie of it. And it's about the...
Danny DeVito.
Yeah. And the... Well, then you know the relationship, the father and the son, but the father's a horror host in the local TV station.
It's based on Bob Wilkins, who was the horror host in Oakland, California, where I grew up, in Northern California.
Oh, ended up being the man who says, in a world where, right, for the movie... For ABC, the movie of the week, and the
That's another horror host, Goulardi, Ernie Anderson out of Cleveland. He was the voice of ABC and did Love Boat and Fantasy Island, ABC Sunday night movie. He was the first broadcaster to make $1 million a year, first voiceover actor to make
just with his VO. Yeah, that's something.
Oh. And also, there's a movie you probably know. It's speaking of Vincent Price. It's pretty unknown though, and it's about the horror movie industry and horror shows. And it's called Madhouse. It's like the show within the movie within the.
I do know that film. I actually screened that in Sacramento. I do know that film. Yes.
Okay.
Classic times. Go ahead, Nelson.
Yeah.
That guy has like a great look, and Rob Zombie ended up copying that look for Dr. Wolfenstein or one of his own characters. I can't remember which now, but he has that same look as Vincent Price in Madhouse with the white ghoul makeup and the giant big black floppy hat.
Uh-huh, because it's a great comment on the whole... this is BBC. It's set in the BBC in England, but it's still a good, you know, a comment on the whole industry.
On the industry. Yeah, no, it's a good satire. Price made a few satires in the 70s, like Theater of Blood has that same wonderful kind of sense of humor, a lot of dark wit and a lot of commentary on, you know, social commentary.
I think a cable channel dedicated to horror movies and horror hosts would do very well, don't you?
I absolutely. George, are you starting a channel?
I don't know. It's a pretty good idea. Wouldn't that be cool? I think it would work. You just got to be able to get the movies, you know, the public domain movies, and I don't know.
I think that there are.
Are you there, Mr. Lobo? Mr. Lobo?
Program the people.
Oh, I'm losing you. Are you there?
Perhaps some of those films might need a little help. You might need to have a host kind of break it up and you know, hamburger helper, so to speak.
Do you have caller ID?
Do I have caller ID?
Yeah, because you dropped out
No, I don't. No.
Okay. All right. Let's go next to Paul, truck driving in Tennessee. Paul, welcome to the program. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Just talking about Vincent Price, I watch movies out of Columbus, Ohio with a guy called Fritz the Night Owl, and he always played the scary movies on Saturday.
I met him.
Oh,
Fritz the Night Owl.
But one of my favorite Vincent Price movies, it was he played a magician or a sorcerer, and Boris Karloff, I think, was in the movie. He played an opposing sorcerer magician, something about a raven or something like that, I believe.
I think you're right.
Horror movie. It was a raven. It was more like a fantasy movie, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure, though. I know that. I remember that, but I don't remember it specifically. But,
well, as we wrap things up, Mr. Lobo, what's your that conference? Which the one you're going to go to is the Blob Fest?
Oh, yeah, I do that every year in July. But I do Monster Bash, which is near Pittsburgh, and I do a lot of them. I do a lot of conventions, and I also have a Halloween CD, a spoken word CD called "The Horrible Noises of Mr. Lobo's Very Bad Manner," and that's on Amazon and iTunes, and you can actually get a real CD of it on my website.
Well, you have yourself a happy Halloween, will you?
Thank you very much, George. This has been an absolute pleasure. I hope you have a ghoulish, foolish, and droolish one yourself.
You got that right. Mr. Lobo, you can track him with his website, cinemainsomnia.com. Up next, of course, Rosemary Ellen Guiley joins us as we talk about some ghostly things with her. So make sure you're part of the program when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM.